Today's daf in Masechet Yoma, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, is daf Mem He. And we're up to the two dots. B'cho yom makriv pras shacharit upras ben arbaim. B'cho yom aita daka, hayom daka min adaka. We went through all of the differences of the special keteres and the way that the keteres is brought on Yom HaKippurim, besides the pras, the chamishim in the morning and chamishim in the afternoon. We also have the Meloch Ofnav, and one of the things that is different is that even though every single day the Keteres, it says Keteres Daka, that it says is the definition of what the Keteres is. So the question is, why does it stress again Keteres Samim Daka here in Achremot? That seems to be completely extra. So Tana Rabbana, why is it necessary to say the idea of Meloch Ofnav Ketoret Samim Daka Matamid Loma V'alok Var Ne'emar? It says all the way back in Shmos V'shachakta Mimena Hadek. So it says that the Ketoret has to be very thin. Therefore, it must be coming to tell me Lahavid Daka Min Hadaka. We put it through again another layer of filtering, as we'll see later on, and that gives it a special quality for Yom HaKippurim. Why do we have specifically going up to the east and coming down to the west? That's simple, because the Amar kol pinot sha'ata poneh lo yehe ela derech yamin limizrach. When you're coming up to the Mizbeach, remember you're going to have to turn towards the east, which is to the right when you get to the top. Since the kevesh to the Mizbeach is on the south, so then that means you're going to be turning right to go east. But if that's the case, you should go up on the right. That's exactly what you do. Olim b'mizrach hashel kevesh. Then by the time you go around the Mizbeach, you're all the way at the southwest. So then you go down the western side of the kevesh, which is to the south. V'hayom ole b'emtza v'yored b'emtza. Shouldn't say lashon rabim, because it's just a reference to the Kohen Gadol. And why is that? Mishum kvodo the Kohen Gadol. It's to show the way that the Kohen, as Rashi says, is like a ben bayit. It's like he belongs here. He's part of the Pamalia that lives in the Mishkan. B'chol yom, Kohen gadol mikadesh yadav v'raglav min hakior. And today we make a special golden kli for him. Maitaima, mishum kivodo shel Kohen gadol. B'chol yom ayusham arba ma'arachot. Now, Rabosai, this sugya, this is the place where we go through all of the Ramazim in the Torah to the Ma'arachot. And therefore, I want to go through with you all of the various things that we're going to be talking about, because there's a lot of different references and they can get very confusing. So let's go through together the various places in Vayikra that the Torah defines for us what exactly the relationship is of the Kuhuna to the Eish on the Mizbeach, and of the Korban to the Eish ala Mizbeach. So remember, right at the beginning of Vayikra, we have the Posik, V'natnu b'nei Aharon ha-Kohen Eish ala Mizbeach, V'orchu etzim al ha-Eish. Now from there we learn that there is a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bring Eish min ha-Hedyot, even though the Eish is Yored min ha-Shamayim. That's one thing that we learned from that pasuk. And we're going to see other issues here, but from the V'orchu Eitzim ala Esh, remember, as we've spoken about many times, we have over there the mitzvah of the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim and the association with the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim to the Ma'aracha HaGidola. So that's the V'orchu Eitzim al Ha'esh. Now, then we don't really have any more mentions of that in the beginning of Vayikra. However, when we get to Parshas Tzav, then the Torah starts going to town on the H. And if you have your Chumash over there, you want to turn to Tzav, you'll be able to see inside, this is in Perek Vav, all of the various Ramazim, because there's actually quite a few, to the point where it really starts slapping you across the face that the Torah is making such a fuss about the H. So it starts at the beginning of Tzav. Tzav et Aaron ved banav lemor. Zot Torah Ta'ola, Hi Ha'ola Al Mokda. Okay, so now we already, right there, we hear about a Moked. A Moked is a, like it means today in modern Hebrew, Moked is a center. It's a specific place where there is a ma'arocha on the mizbeach. So he ha'ola al mokda, al mizbeach kol ha'layla, ad ha'boker, ve'esh ha'mizbeach tu kad bo, another mokad. So there's another mention of Eish and another mention of a Mokade. Then we get to the Pasuk that we darshaned earlier, and that is the Pasuk about Trumas Hadesh. V'lavash ha-kohen midobad u'michta sebad yubash ha-besoro ve'herim et hadeshen, and then we repeat the whole thing again, asher tochal ha-Eish et ha-ola ala mizbeach. So we have yet a second mention of Eish, which burns the Ola. Now, that seems to be a little bit extra because the Pasuk immediately before identified the Ola as being the Ola ala mogda ve'esh ha-mizbeach tukadbo. We're going to have to figure out why that's repeated. Then we have the Pasuk about taking the deshen out. Okay, that's not nogea us. And then the next Pasuk, again, for no reason, repeats, ve'ha'esh al ha-mizbeach tukadbo, yet another mention of a mokade, another mention of Eish, and another mention of Uvier Alea HaKohen, Eitzim Baboker Baboker, and then we have the famous Pasuk V'Arach Alea HaOla, which is the Ola Rishona, that everything has to be completed on that, and that is the next to the last mentioning, because then we have a really wild repetition, as if we don't know. The Pasuk before said the same thing. And what in the world is the next Pasuk saying? It's literally word for word. So this is what it is that we're going to need to deal with today in coming to understand how it is that each one of these psukim is teaching us a specific halacha that without which this pasuk we would not have known. So first of all, let's take a look at the machlokas between the various shitas of the Tanoim as to how many there were actually of these ma'arachot. Because if we take each one of them on the simple level, so then each mention of a tukad or veherich is a remez to a separate ma'aracha. And that's going to be the simplest and first level explanation of the references to the Mogdim. So now let's first look at how many ma'arachot there were. So b'chol yom ayusham arba ma'arachot, and today there's chamisha. Now, these were all parts of different shitot, as we've already seen. So let's take a look at the Braita and see other shitas. Not only the shita of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Meir says there were four, and today there are five. Rabbi Yossi said, and this is still from our Mishnah, that there were three, and today there was four. And then we have Rabbi Yehuda, that there's two every day, and three on Yom Kippur. So let's get the details in the Braisa. Tana Rabban. So the first level, B'chol Yom Ayushtayim Ma'arachot, that's the minimum. Everybody agrees there were at least two on a regular day, and today there are three. What are they? So the first one, which of course everybody agrees, is the Ma'aracha Gedola. That's the first Ma'aracha in which we put the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim and we put the Eila. The second Ma'aracha, and we're going to see how these are all learned out from the Psukim, the second Ma'aracha, which was the minimum, that was for the Ketores that's going to be burnt in the Heichal, not on Yom Kippur, but the Ketores that is burnt every day. And then we're Mosif, an additional one for today on Yom Kippur, which we take specially on Yom Kippur from this new third Ma'aracha. And that's only for the Ketores that's going to be brought in Lifnai v'Lifnim. It's only for the Ma'achatet. But the normal Ketores is brought, as it is every single day, from the Ma'aracha Shnia Shel Ketoret. That means the standard Ketoret. So this is our minimal configuration, and that was the way that we had in the Mishnah. We had Rabbi Yehuda, two every day and three today. Now, there is another shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, no, actually, every day there was three, and today there are four. Okay, what does he do with, how does he get three? Well, he agrees, of course, that first of all, there's the Ma'aracha Gedolah. Secondly, there's the Ma'aracha Shniya Shel Ketoret. And the third one that we haven't heard about before is what is called the Ma'aracha of the Kiyum Ha'esh. So we just keep hot burning pieces of wood so that if there's any problem in the Ma'aracha Gedolah that seems to be going out, we can always bring in fresh hot wood that hasn't been affected by any of the Avarium that maybe tended to put it out and so on, and we can add to it. That's called the Kiyum Ha'esh. And then we, of course, also have the special one for the Machta of Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Yossi adds a third Ma'aracha L'Kiyum Ha'esh. Rabbi, and the Mishnah was Rabbi Meir, so Rabbi Omer, B'chol Yom Arba V'Yom Chamesh. What are the Arba? So he obviously has all of Rabbi Yossi's, namely the Ma'aracha Gedolah, the Ma'aracha Shniya Shel Ketoret, the Ma'aracha Shel Kiyum Ha'esh, plus Rabbi Meir, or Rebbe, has another Ma'aracha, which are for Evarim Upedarim, Shelo Nitaklu Miba'arev. So if we didn't have a chance, now there's different reasons why we would have things that were Lo Nitaklu Miba'arev. First of all, we may have had a large number of Evarim that were still piled on the Kevesh, or maybe on the Sovev, as we'll see, that we simply did not have time to burn. Now, as long as all of these Evarim are on the Mizbeach from half of the Mizbeach on up, and that includes the Kevesh, half of the Mizbeach on up, and on the Sovev, which is half of the Mizbeach on up, it's one arm above the midpoint. So none of those things would become Nifsal because there's no din of Lina B'Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. And therefore, they're still kosher. We could continue to burn them, and we could certainly continue to burn them in the Ma'aracha Gedolah. Now, for some reason, Rabbi Meir says that if we have anything like that, or perhaps they were semi-burnt, but they didn't get completely burnt, anything like that is put on in the morning after we start the new Ma'aracha Gedolah for today. All of those things are put on a separate Ma'aracha. They're not put back on the Ma'aracha Gedolah. That's all fresh korbanos, which starts, of course, with the Olas HaBoker. After we do the Shnei Gizrei Etzim. So according to Rabbi Meir, we have yet another one. We have a special one for Evorim Upedorim, Shelo Nitaklu Miba'arev. That gives us four. And then we also have the special one for the Machta of Yom HaKippurim, which is the Achat Shemosifin B'chol Yom. So now let us take a look at the Psukim and go through from the minimum to the maximum. So the minimum was the two. That's for every day. Okay, so that's our absolute minimum. Nobody holds there's less than two. The kuleyama miatarte itlu, everyone agrees. How do we know it? Show me in the pasuk. Ah, okay. Well, this is the fundamental pasuk that opens up Parshas Tzav. And it says, Hi ha'ola al-mogda kol ha'layla. What is that al-mogda? What is the moked of the ola? That's the Ma'aracha Gedolah. That's the fundamental moked. And then the pasuk adds, for no obvious reason, the Eish HaMizbeach Tukadbo, that there should also be fire on the Mizbeach. Well, obviously, we just talked about the way that the fire is going to be burning Kol HaLayla. No, this is a different fire. And this is the Ma'aracha Shniya Shel Ketoret. So that means that there's clearly a reference to two separate mogdim, and that's a given in the opening pasuk of Tzav that already tells us that there's two ma'arachot. Okay, now Rabbi Yossi came along, and he claimed that there's got to be three as a minimum. And the third one, according to Rabbi Yossi, is being used for maintenance. So it's kiyum ha'esh, and so if anything happens to the esh, that means we'll be able to come from there, take it, and rekindle the Ma'aracha Gedolah. Okay, where does he get that from?
Yeah? The microphone's moved away a bit. Maybe
closer. Find it hard to believe. Is that better? Still problematic? Maybe your volume is down.
That's softer.
How about now? Okay. I don't see any indication here, but I'm happy to make everyone happy. All right. So, where does he get it from? Ah. So he says, well, take a look at the pasuk. Now, let's start referring actually to the pasukim with their number. So the Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, that was pasuk Aleph in Tzav. And then we have pasuk Beis, which was the Tzavis Aaron, Zot Torat Ola, Hi Ola, Al Mokda, Ala Mizbeach, Kola, Laila, Ada Boker, plus the Esha Mizbeach Tukadbo. That's pasuk Beis, and that's the one that everybody agrees is the minimum of the two Mokdim. Now, the pasuk, the penultimate pasuk there in that opening parsha, is pasuk Hey. Ve'ha'esh, by the way, note that we've got some of the cases as ve'esh, one of the cases is ve'ha'esh, and one of the pasuk is esh tamid. That's going to make an afkamina in terms of the drasha, whether we darshan the vav or whether we darshan a vav and a hey, as we're going to say. So keep that in mind. Yeah.
What was the point on pasuk aleph?
Pasuk Aleph, you mean back in Vayikra that we spoke about? That's a different pasuk. That is to tell me that there's a mitzvah on the Kohanim to bring Ha'esh min HaHedyot. That's not what we're talking about over here. Because there it's talking about needing to bring the fire. And over here it's talking about having a ma'aroch, not where does the fire come from. So over there it was a special mitzvah, the Kohanim have to bring fire to the Mizbeach. Separate halacha. Now we're talking about what mokdim are we mekayim on the Mizbeach. Where those mokdim come from? Maybe they come magically, min hashamayim. Maybe there is no chiyev for the kohen to bring it. So we have all of that. I don't know what to do about the, everybody's complaining here. Barnea is complaining.
Yeah, I think
it was the people
again just now. It goes yeah.
All right. In any event, gentlemen, please.
I don't hear any problem.
The problem is what we hear from you. Could you please mute yourself? Thank you. All right. So, according to Rabbi Yossi, we go down to Pasuk Hey. Pasuk Hey is the Pasuk that goes Veha Esh. So, Veha Esh al Mizbeach tu kadbo. Lo tichbe. What's that? That is yet another tukad. That gives me a new mokate. So the purpose of that mokate, says Rabbi Yossi, is to make sure that we will have an extra fire. Fine. Now, so this gives us pasuk hey, a new reference. Coming back to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said all you need is two. What does he do with this pasuk hey that clearly is referring to a new mokade? What's that for? Says Rabbi Yehuda, that is not to tell me a new mokade. It's to tell me a new din of esh. Esh ala mizbeach tu kadbo is part of uvi er alea hakohen etzim baboker baboker. Namely, what this comes to teach me is that there is a din of hatsatat Elita, and that is Ahulat Satat Elita Hudaata. So now, even though it mentions yet a third time here, but that's coming to tell me how to get the fire started, which we never talked about before. We talked about where to bring the fire from back in Vayikra. We talked about how many fires to maintain as centerpieces, which are called Marachot on the Mizbeach. Now the question is, the way that you get a fire started is you take kindling wood, splinters, these small splinters, how exactly, and then you stick them in between the spaces, like Richie does for his sauna, and he likes doing that, you know, to practice pretending he's a Kohen, getting his sauna going. Come on, Rich, you could show your face and a nice smile. So that is called lighting up. There we go. Lighting up the Alita. Where is that done? Says Rabbi Yehuda, the fact that we start talking about the details of the fire on the top of the Mizbeach is not to create a new mokade. It's to tell me that that itself, even the kindling that I get, those little splinters that I'm going to be using to start the large maracha, I have to do that also on the Mizbeach. The Tanya. Haya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. How do we know? Minayin l'hatzatat alita, shelotei ela b'roshosha mizbeach. How do we know that that needs to be done on the top of the Mizbeach and cannot be done on the bottom and then brought up. Talmud Lomar, that's this Pasuk Hey. Veha Esh ala Mizbeach tukat bo, and that teaches us to do it. Omar Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi Yossi disagrees. He says, Minayin Shosema Rachalek Yuma Esh, I say this is coming not to tell me Hatzatat Elita, this is coming to tell me Veha Esh ala Mizbeach tukat bo, that there must be yet a third Ma'aracha. So apparently there's a machlokas about how to understand this pasuk. But if that's the case, how does Rabbi Yossi know, asks the Gemara, that there is this idea, which everybody we know agrees to. So where does Rabbi Yossi know the learn the limud of Hatzatat Alita? So how does he know that that needs to be done on the top of the Mizbeach? You guys are not aware of the fact that there's another machlokas that we haven't raised here yet. And that, once you see that, you'll understand what's behind the scenes in this machlokas. Because Rabbi Yossi, he learns the din of Hatzatat Alita from the same place that Rabbi Shimon learns Hatzatat Alita. And that is learned from a machlokas in another brisa between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, who we just quoted here about Hatzatat Alita. Let's take a look at that brisa. The Tanya. Well, we're talking about back in the beginning of Vayikra, not in Tzav, okay? That first opening pasuk. V'natnu b'nei Aharon HaKohen Eish al HaMizbeach. So Rabbi Yehuda says, that pasuk is to teach that Hatzatat Alita has to be done with a Kohen who is wearing his Kohuna Gedolah B'Kli Sharet. That's how we understand Kli Sharet. Either his Shemoneh Begonim, if he's a Kohen Gadol, or if he is a Kohen Hedyot, he needs to be wearing his Arba Begonim. How do we know that? Because it stresses the fact that Aaron is a Kohen. I mean, you think that by the time we get to Vayikra, we've figured that out, that Aaron is a Kohen. So therefore, the point of stressing Aaron as a Kohen is to tell me that the state of the Kohuna is essential. And the state of the Kohuna is achieved by putting on the Big Day Kahuna. Without those Big Day Kahuna, then the Kohen would have a din of a Zar. So that, says Rabbi Yehuda, is what the din is coming to teach me, that even though Rabbi Yehuda himself is learning out the Chiyuv of Hatzatat Halita on the Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach, how does he know that it has to be done by a Kohen wearing a Big Day Kahuna? That he learns out from the beginning of Vayikra. So says Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Shimon to Rabbi Yehuda, does this make sense, my friend? I mean, you yourself learned that there's a chiyuv of Hatzatat Alita al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. Where did you learn that from? You learned that from Tzav, from the pasuk that we just quoted, pasuk Hey. So now, why would you need another pasuk to tell me that it has to be done by a Kohen who is wearing his Big Day Kohuna to give him a din of a Kohen? I mean, what in God's name did you think? You've already told me that it needs to be done on the Mizbeach. And it says, Beferish, that no Zar should come close. El Klei HaKodesh v'al HaMizbeach lo yikravu. So if the Torah says you can't get close to the Mizbeach if you are a Zar, why do you need a separate pasuk that is telling me that the Hatzatat Alita on top of the Mizbeach has to be done by a Kohen? Obviously, it has to be done by a Kohen. So this is ridiculous, Tainas Rabbi Shimon. I'll tell you what this pasuk is for, my friend. It's not to tell me that it needs to be done by a Kohen. It's to tell me that the Hatzatat Alita is to be done al Rosh Hashanah Mizbeach. That's the whole point, because I certainly don't need it for you. So therefore, I tell me, when it says, Ve'esh al Mizbeach tu kadbo lo tichbe, and so on, this, I'm tining, the pasuk that you are using, I'm using like Rabbi Yossi. And that's why we say Rabbi Yossi learns like Rabbi Shimon. I'm learning like Rabbi Yossi. That's to tell me that we need to have, from pasuk Hei and Tzav, we need to have a maracha for Kiyom HaEish. The fact that we need to do Hatzatat Alita, I learn from the pasuk in Vayikra that talks about the Kohen bringing the Eish, and then it says al HaMizbeach, which means he has to light the Eish al HaMizbeach. And you, waste Pusik Hey to tell me for some reason at Satat Alita al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, because you think that I need to have a separate Pusik to tell me that it needs to be done by a Kohen, which I say is a waste. Now, basically, what are they arguing about, says Rashi? Well, very simple. According to Rabbi Shimon, who says it's ridiculous, once you know that there's a Satat Alita al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, it's ridiculous to need a Pusik to tell me it's a Kohen. He holds that the alternative, which Rabbi Yehuda obviously contemplates, is that even though that Satat Alita needs to be al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach, what's to prevent a Zar from doing it on the ground? So in other words, if he can throw it up to the top, right? So then would that be the same as Atzatat Alita? I mean, or not? So that's a different question. Maybe, in other words, we're talking about what it boils down to, think about it. The Kohen's got to bring a fire, right? That was the first thing. Everybody agrees that you need to bring the Eish min ha-hediot. So that, I agree, needs to be done by B'nai Aharon, and that it needs to see B'nai Aharon. Why? So if according to Rabbi Yehuda, I don't need that to tell me the B'nai Aharon, I need that to tell me that B'nai Aharon have to be al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. It must be that there's an alternative, because even though it says beferish to bring Eish min ha-hediot, I need a pasuk even according to Rabbi Shimon to tell me that's a Kohen. So he obviously holds a Zar could bring the Eish min ha-hediot if it wouldn't have said over here that it has to be Aaron. And how could he get it up to the Mizbeach? He could throw it up. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that it's appropriate to throw it up. So therefore, according to him, we would need to have a separate pasuk telling me that the Aaron has to bring it up. And then we need to know that the Hatzatat Alita itself is done by also somebody who's on the Mizbeach. So then we're going to ask, but then if you're already told me that it's inappropriate, so then why do I need a pasuk? That we're going to explain in a moment. And that is, there's a difference between bringing the Eish min ha-hediot, that you could just throw up the fire, and lighting the Alita from it. Because that has to be done al Rosh Hashem Mizbeach. And the only other way that you could do it is you could encourage it from the ground by, let's say, you could use a leaf blower or something, right? And then you've got the air being blown from down on the bottom, and that will help it burn. Maybe that's okay. So that we'll see in the Gemara. Therefore, it works out that Rabbi Shimon ends up using the pasuk of Rabbi Yehuda for Rabbi Yossi's purpose, namely that it's an additional mokade, which is for kiyum ha'esh. And then we also have Rabbi Yossi understanding atzatat alita from the pasuk back in Vayikra, like Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so they agree with each other. So why does Rabbi Yehuda actually argue? Why does it need a pasuk to tell me that a Kohen should be meitzit the Alita if you've already told me that only a Kohen is allowed on the top of the Mizbeach? So what's the hav? I mean, says Rabbi Yehuda, look, I may not hold that it's appropriate to throw the fire on the Mizbeach. That's one thing. But if it only said that the Alita itself has to be worked on top of the Mizbeach, I would have thought that it's possible that a non-Kohen, so a Zar, could be Koya Ara, let him stand on the ground next to the Mizbeach, and let him use a portable leaf blower, or a mapucha, he can use a bellows, which can be very large, could be 5 feet tall, and he could use that, and he could fan it from the bottom, and that would end up achieving the top of the Mizbeach, but by a non-Kohen. That's what I would have thought. So because of that, it's telling us, no, the one who actually does the hadlaka, I don't care if he's not on the Mizbeach. I don't care if he's on the ground using a leaf blower. He's got to be a Kohen wearing his big day kahuna. That's what I hold. It's coming to teach. Okay, and now Rabbi Meir. How does Rabbi Meir get the idea that we have another mokeid? Namely, Rabbi Meir, evore mupidorim. What bothers Rabbi Meir about that? Why can't we just put everything back on to the Ma'aracha Gedolah after we set it up again? That he learns from the pasuk that says the esh amizbeach to karbon. Now that's the esh, the idea that we had at the first pasuk, namely pasuk beis, because over there at the end of the pasuk, after it says zotorato la yola amogdal amizbeach kol alayla, it adds the esh amizbeach. What's this the esh amizbeach? I understand you taught me about esh amizbeach, but what is and the esh al amizbeach? So it could have just said esh al amizbeach to kadbo. So this must be coming to tell me something additional. What is additional? One additional ma'aracha, which I use for the oila. So hi ha'ola, and if any of it is left over, ve'esh, get me another fire to burn the oila that was on the mizbeach kol alayla. And the Rabbanan, who say there's no such thing, they don't darshan ve'esh al mizbeach. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who argue on Rabbi Meir, do not darshan the vav for ve'esh al mizbeach. This is all over Shas. We have that machlokas. But ask the Gemara, so what, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who we're calling now the Rabbanan and together, what, according to them, do we do with Eivor Mubdorim? Shalonitaklu be'erev. Where do we put them? What do you mean, where do we put them? We put them back on. You take them off, you clean off the Mizbeach, and then you put them back on again. So, Mahar Lulama Rocha Gedola, because like it says, there's a Bryce. I mean, Nayin Le'evor Mubdorim. Shalonitaklu be'erev. But they were on top. They should be Sodran Agabi Mizbeach. We should put them on the side while we're cleaning up and making the new ma'aracha. We don't take them off. If we take them off, they're going to be posobelina. So don't take them off of the mizbeach. Put them on the side. And how about if there's no room on the side of the mizbeach? Put them on the kevesh or put them on the sovev. These are all built michatzi ha-mizbeach v'lamala. So they're from the upper part of the mizbeach. Therefore, they're kosher for hakrova. And therefore, they're considered to be ein lina poselet b'rosh hashem mizbeach. Then when you finished, Achi Yaseh Ma'aracha Gdola, when you finish making the new Ma'aracha, you bring them back, V'sodran, you put them on it. How do we know that? Talmud Lomar, Asher Tochal Ha'esh Et Ha'ola Al HaMizbeach. Now, obviously, I know that the Ola is on the Mizbeach. I knew that from the beginning. It said Beferish at the beginning, Ola Al HaMizbeach. So why does it have to repeat again? Asher Tochal Ha'esh Et Ha'ola Al HaMizbeach. Oh, that comes to tell me that even if the olah is left over from before, as long as it wasn't nifsa belina, put it back al hamizbeach, and that's fine in the same place. Now, Rabbi Meir, he disagrees. What does Rabbi Meir then do with the fact that we repeat so weirdly that this is ha'olah al hamizbeach? Does he not agree that obviously there's an olah al hamizbeach from the psukim before? Comes Rabbi Meir to tell me, that's a very important limud. That limud, as we've discussed before, is to teach me that ikulei ola atamachzir. If something had been burned partially, and then it popped off, sometimes there's like air that suddenly pops, as you know from your microwave. So if you put this on the mizbeach, it could pop right off of the mizbeach and fall down to the ground. If it was already on fire, then you are allowed, and you're mechuyev, to put them back on the mizbeach. But if the same thing happens to keteres from the mizbeach hapnimi, you never put that back on. V'iyata machzir ikulei keteret. So it's stressing ola, but not keteret. Tetani Rabbi Chananya bar ben Yumi b'debei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. In Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's yeshiva, we learned this braita, asher tochala eshet ola al mizbeach, exactly like Rabbi Meir explained it. Ikulei ola tamachzir, iata machzir ikulei ketoret. Okay. All right, so now we have the basic idea, 2, 3, 4. Where does everybody come up with the idea that on Yom Kippur, 2 becomes 3, and 3 becomes 4, and 4 becomes 5? Why do we say that we have an additional mokate? So the kulei alma miat that mosifin bo bayom itlu. Everybody has agreed to that idea. Where does that come from? That comes from the pasuk that is extra at the beginning of the word, at the beginning of pasuk hey, is v'ha'esh al hamizbeach. their ha'esh is a vav and a hey. So even Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, who do not doresh the extra vav, they definitely are doresh an extra vav and a hey. And therefore, the vav and the hey comes to tell me that there is an extra esh that needs to be used for Yom HaKippurim. Now, how about the wild repetition that comes at the end in the next pasuk? I mean, that's really crazy. It just repeats for no reason. Esh tamid, all over again, tukad al mizbeach lo tikpeh, as if we haven't heard that plenty of times. So what is that for? That esh tamid l'may ata? Ah, that's a special halacha. Mi boy le'lekid etanya. When it says esh amizbeach tukad bo lo tikpeh, that comes to tell me that the ma'aracha shniya shel ketoret should be only on the mizbeach achitzon and the not anywhere else. Don't think that you can make a ma'aracha shniya somewhere else, and we'll see why I would think this. And this is true, and this is the big chiddush, even for the esh of the machata on Yom Kippur. Now, you could certainly imagine, would you not? If I asked you, where should we take the machata on Yom Kippur when we go lifnai v'lifnim? Wouldn't you immediately say, well, obviously, we'll take it from off of the mizbeach hazahav, where we should keep the fire burning and take the machata into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, right? I mean, look, the same way that we bring to the Mizbeach HaZahav from the Mizbeach outside, so to go one step further, we should bring from the Mizbeach HaZahav for the Machata when we go inside Lifnai V'Lifnim. I need to learn from this pasuk that no fire for the Ketoret. I don't care whether we're talking about the Ketoret in the Heichal or we're talking about the Ketoret Lifnai V'Lifnim. And I don't care whether we're talking about the fire that we need to light the menorah. All of that has got to come from the outside Mizbeach. That's a big chiddush. So that I learn from here. Limed amarocha shnia shel keteres shelo teyal amizbeach achitzon. Eish machata uminoira also has to be exactly the same, only from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Where do I know that that is also included here? Because Vedino, I would have thought, you would think, that you could figure it out yourself, right? Nemra Eish Biktoret, Venemra Eish B'machata. So just like the Eish that we're talking about on the Mizbeach for the Ketores every day is on Mizbeach HaChitzon, so, okay, the Machata on Yom Kippur and the Menorah should also be on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. But that would not be a very intelligent argument, because I could argue exactly the opposite. I could say, O kalach l'derech zo, and what's wrong with my arguing this? It says eish in the Ketores every day, and it says eish in the Machata and the Menorah. So just like every day, where do I bring the eish to the Heichal from? From the closest location. So malahalan besamuch lo, I bring it from the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So I should argue, af machata menorah besamuch lo. So if I'm going to be lighting the machta for Yom Kippur, I should light it from the closest place, which is the Mizbeach HaZahav, not the Mizbeach HaChitzon. And if I'm going to be lighting the menorah, I should bring the fire from the menorah from the closest place. That's the Mizbeach HaZahav, not the Mizbeach HaChitzon. So given no additional information, that's the argument I would make, that af machto menorah besamuchlo. So how do I know differently? Talmud lomar. That is exactly the beautiful point of this pasuk. Eish tamid. Hey, where'd you hear those words before? Eish tamid. The menorah. Eish tamid shamarti lecha. That fire that's got to be the eish tamid that I mentioned in Shmos. That fire lo tehe ela berosh shemizbeach lahalot ner tamid. So that's got to come not from the mizbeach hazav. It has to come from the maracha on the mizbeach hachitzon. That's all very nice for the menorah. How do we know that that's true eish lemachta as well? Eish lemachta minayin. So that I would also try to say is a simple svara v'dinu. Nemra eish b'machta v'nemra eish b'menorah. Just like the menorah is Mizbeach HaChitzon, afkan, Al Mizbeach HaChitzot. But I could say to you, no, maybe Kalach L'derech Zo. It says Eish B'Ktoret every day. And it says Eish B'Machta for Yom Kippur. So just like the Eish of the Ktoret every day is in a nearby location, which is the Mizbeach HaChitzon, Malahalam B'Samuchlo, Afkan B'Samuchlo. That's why it has to say, Talmud Lomar, V'Lakach M'lo HaMachta, Kachalei Eish, Mi'alah Mizbeach, this is an Acharei Mot. And what does it say over there? Take it from the Mizbeach, Milifnei Hashem. Now note, doesn't say HaMizbeach Asher Lifnei Hashem. No. Take it from the Mizbeach. What part of the Mizbeach? The part of the Mizbeach that is Milifnei Hashem. Now, which Mizbeach is partially Lifnei Hashem and partially not Lifnei Hashem, huh? Certainly the Mizbeach HaKtoras being in the Heichal is Kulo Lifnei Hashem. It's right there in front of the Porochet. So you tell me what it's referring to. Well, I'll tell you. It's referring to Mizbeach HaChitzon. Because part of the Mizbeach HaChitzon is right in front of the doorway to the Heichal, but the rest of it extends either to either side or to the south, depending on the Shita. But it's certainly, all 32 Amot is certainly not Lifnei Hashem. So therefore, to identify a menorah, which is only partially Lifnei Hashem, we've got to be talking about Ezer Mizbeach that only Miktzato Lifnei Hashem, and not Kulo Lifnei Hashem. Oh, come on, guys, is this not just so beautiful? What sensitivity? Ah! We're so used to thinking about the Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, but this is not the Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem. Oh, no, no, no. Take it from the part which is Lifnei Hashem on the Mizbeach. There's only one Mizbeach that fits the bill. So wait a minute. So then why do you have to say both Me'ala Mizbeach and the Lifnei Hashem? You just say Me'Lifnei Hashem. Because Ikaz Rachmana Me'ala Mizbeach, I would have thought, like we said, that Ala Mizbeach is a reference to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, because it's Samuch, right? Fine. Because the Rachmanim Lifnei Hashem, only the Mizbeach that's partially Lifnei Hashem. But if I had written only Milifnei Hashem, I would have thought you're only allowed to take the Machta from the part of the Mizbeach that is actually Lifnei Hashem. But you can't take it off from the sides of the Mizbeach that are to either side of the doorway. And when it says Lifnei Hashem, it really means Lifnei Hashem. No, no, it doesn't really mean Lifnei Hashem. It says Lifnei Hashem as an identification of which Mizbeach. The Mizbeach, which is partially Lifnei and partially not Lifnei Hashem. But anywhere from that Mizbeach, you can take it. Because otherwise, Hava Mina Dafka from the part which is Lifnei Hashem. Hava Mihai Gisa from either side, I would have thought, no. That's why it has to say Mi'ala Mizbeach. Anywhere on the Mizbeach. Which Mizbeach? The Mizbeach, which is Lifnei Hashem. Mwah. Absolutely stunning drushas here. Okay, so we've got all of our details covered in this poetry of the analysis of Vayikra and Tzav, which for some reason the kooks out there don't think are poetic.